cold. Welcome, everybody. Oh, we're still a couple minutes early, aren't we? No? We're on point? Welcome to Hope on the Beach Church, everyone. Faces that are familiar. I see you today. And we'd like to welcome you home again and again and again and again. You know? And this is a no-judgment zone, so it's okay to not be okay, and it's okay to be great. There is no judgment here. In your bulletin, you will find a connection card, and please let us know you are here. We are small but a mighty group, but I do want to say this. You guys are too far away. I feel like you guys need to scoot forward, but that's okay. For those of you joining us online, we'd like to welcome you. Welcome home. We're glad that you're joining us today. Again, in your connection card, put your name. You can online. You can go to the homepage, hit connection card, fill that out so we know that you are watching. If you're watching on YouTube, welcome. You know, today Christian's gonna preach, and the question is, do you want to change? You know, and in that, the part of the title is the Jesus you thought you knew. And do you want to change? It's quite a captivating message because many folks don't like change. So let's rise. Let's worship our God in this wonderful rain. Shannon, if you're watching, I don't have to water your plants today. Heavenly Father, we come to you with grateful hearts. Hearts that are amazed by your grace. We are in awe of your power in our life and how your Holy Spirit leads us. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. Your grace is sufficient. We find joy in your presence here today. We love you and we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, do you guys know the chorus to this thing, to this song? Who am I that you keep me on your mind? God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. All my life, you've been right here by my side. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. Sing that again. Who am I that you keep me on your mind? God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. All my life, you've been right here by my side. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. There was no way until you made one. Grace upon grace, hallelujah. Even though I don't deserve it, you give it. Even though I couldn't earn it, you give it. Let's sing that again. There was no way until you made one. grace upon grace, hallelujah. Even though I don't deserve it, you did it. Even though I couldn't earn it, you give it. Who am I that you keep me on your mind? God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. All my life, you've been right here by my side. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. Holy, holy, there is only one.
Yeah.
Give you glory for all that you've done. Even though I couldn't earn it, you give it.
Sorry.
Even though I couldn't earn it, you give it. Who am I that you keep me on your mind? God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. All my life, you've been right here by my side. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. And I'm lifting both of my hands. You give me chance after chance after chance. And I'm giving all that I am. You give me chance after chance after chance. And I'm lifting both of my hands. You give me chance after chance after chance. And I'm giving all that I am. You gave me chance after chance after chance. Who am I that you keep me on your mind? God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. All my life, you've been right here by my side. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. I survived. I survived and I'm here to testify. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. I'm alright if they say I'm out of my mind. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. That's something that we can just keep singing on over and over again. Oh, there you go. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. It could be your prayer in the morning. As we journey in our lives, you know, sometimes we have to make hard decisions. And sometimes things just happen. But we know that God is with us, even though we don't feel it. We know He walks with us. He's here right now. If you need healing in your body, He's here right now. God can do all things. He does not separate Himself from us. He loves us unconditionally. So as we walk in this life, you know, the answer is Christ is our firm foundation. He's the lyric says, the rock on which we stand. A firm foundation. He doesn't back down from a fight. He walks with you. He's got your 12, your 6, your 3, and your 9. And He walks with us. So today is our proclamation that Christ is our firm foundation. Christ is my firm foundation. Oh, the rock on which I stand, when everything around me is shaking. Oh, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. 'Cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't.
Hallelujah.
I still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense, so I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I built my life on Jesus. Oh, he's never let me down. He's faithful in every season. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. He won't.
You believe it today?
He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail.
No.
Rain came when blue, but my house was built on you, Jesus. I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make it through. Rain came, wind blew, but my house was built on you.
Hallelujah.
I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make it through. Yeah, I'm gonna make it through. 'Cause I'm standing strong on you. Yeah, I'm gonna make it through. 'Cause my house was built on you. Christ is my firm foundation. Oh, the rock on which I stand, when everything around me is shaking. Oh, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. 'Cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't.
No, he won't.
He won't fail. Jesus. He won't fail. He won't.
The rain came, the wind blew. My house is built on you. Amen. What a beautiful song. And it feels good to be here right now today. All the to and fro this morning, I feel at peace and I'm thankful for it. You may be seated. Thank you, brother. Okay. Last week I wrestled. We're having a deal with preaching between my country, my God, and the tension between those two, and the wrestling and the rolling in my heart between those two last week. And then I look at the outline today, or this week, as I start to prepare for it, and I see what the outline was written. It said, we're still in the series of the Jesus you didn't know. Do you want to change? And I'm like, oh, thanks. Here we go. Let's wrestle again. And by the way, my name is Christian Bolden. I'm the director of missions here at Hope on the Beach Church. I'm thankful and grateful to be in that role here serving you. Every moment that I get to do it is a blessing, and I appreciate it. And I'm avoiding this conversation again. Do you want to change? Wrestling with this and looking it over and seeing where this was going to go today, the story that kept coming up in my head, I went back and forth on if I was going to share, because some of you have heard it, some of you haven't, but it really speaks into this in my life in a huge way. So bear with me as we get through it. The first 7 years, Lana and I were married, and we were in business together. And the Lord blessed and prospered us. And what started out as a photography and lab business in the early 2000s grew into multiple businesses, publications, speaking tours, and eventually consulting. I was living out a dream, and it was working. As a member of the PPA, I traveled and spoke to other small business owners at regional conferences about reaching their full potential. I was there to help them with reaching their potential in life and business. Through this, we used opportunities and the doors that open also for ministry. There was just one problem with all that. It's something I didn't let myself see. We were only chasing my dreams. Lana had a degree of her in her own field and had set her career aside early on in our marriage while we were building these businesses. And she was really good at it. Production and operations is still her thing. But she didn't have the same passion for what we were doing as I did. It was my dreams, not hers. Not to mention, she had to work with me every day, and that's a big ask. Don't laugh so hard, Donna. In the early 2000s, we had just closed out our best year, and we were about to take a big leap on a purchase of commercial property and rental property upstairs above it, just across the street from our storefront. This is when the Lord started stirring a question in me. Are we truly reaching our potential? Was I a hypocrite for teaching on potential if I was only pursuing my dreams? Then one question I did not want to ask. Does Lana want to pursue her career also? My first answer to that was absolutely not. No, Lord, no. I mean, I had all kinds of excuses. She was a key part to this whole production, right? This thing can't work without her. I couldn't picture how this business would keep running without her at all. I wrestled with that question for about a week. Every day it got louder and louder. And the wrestling finally wore me down into a kind of compromise. I said, fine, I'll ask, and I'll get this out of the way. Expecting her to say she was good right where she was at. But she wasn't. She told me she had been thinking about it off and on for a while now and would like to actually see how this could work. Well, a lot of things happened, but that one question rearranged our whole lives. We ended up restructuring that business, made a pivot out of the storefront with employees into a residential model in Birmingham, built around a virtual call center about an hour from where we had first started. It was a very hard pivot. But God had lined up an offer to bring Lana back into her field promptly. And the wisdom and opportunities to make the business shifts also came. Later that same year, though, I think it was around August, newsflash, Bear Stearns collapsed. The financial crisis hit. And the real estate bubble we had been about to lean into further popped. If I had ignored that nudge, we would have suffered in ways that we can only imagine. Instead, we had people calling us, asking us how we saw it coming. Glory be to God, right? Our life took a lot of turns in the next 25 years, but I keep coming back to that same lesson. When the questions you don't want asked show up, When it's time to change, what do you do? What do? We trust Him, right? Len and I don't always do it well or gracefully, but we do end up there, trusting the Lord regardless of our circumstances. Here's what I also learned about when God starts stirring those kind of questions. We often create excuses, don't we? I was honest, I told you. I said, my first answer to that question was not yes. It was no, Lord. She's too important to this operation. We make excuses often when it's going to cost us something, especially comfort or routine. Haven't you had a version of that question in your life also? Maybe it wasn't a business. Maybe it was something else. A career move, a relocation of your family, or step back from being needed so somebody else can develop. And maybe, like me, your real answer wasn't a clean surrender at first either. It came with resistance, excuses, or worse, blame. It may have came with a time of wrestling, then it finally wore you down into like me where I said, fine, I'll ask, I'll consider. I'll do the minimum obedience and get this over with. Or accept the outcome. That's not the kind of faith that we assume makes it into a spiritual highlight reel though, does it? But God has never required a perfect surrender before He works and acts. He used mine while I was still in a half compromise. Like the father that said after the transfiguration when he wanted his boy's demons casted out, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. And many other stories in Scripture that are very similar. But this is important. You cannot become who He wants while white-knuckling your position in life and holding on. You can't be transformed into what He wants right now in your own ability or your own actions. Plus, what He wants to do is usually not entirely for you. It's for His glory. And often, it blesses others. That was like the situation of the man in John 5. For 38 years, he had likely been asked to explain his condition rather than invited to move beyond it. Yet Jesus did not begin with an explanation or a diagnosis. He begins with him with a question. So in your notes, in Scripture, we're going to read for a minute to get the context. In John 5, let us read. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roof colonnades, and in these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water stirred up. And while I try to go in, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take your mat, your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that was the Sabbath. And the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it's not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who's the man who said this to you? 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, and there was a crowd in the place. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. In your notes, number one, Jesus sees what everyone else walks past. Jesus always sees what is going on around us. All the things that we don't see, He sees. We often give resistance when he tries to help us. And verse 6 tells us, Jesus already knew this man had been there 38 years. Nobody introduced them. Nobody pointed out to this guy as a case to look into. In a crowd of desperate people all competing for one special healing spot in the water, Jesus locks onto the one man everyone had stopped noticing. It's similar to what we see in Jericho, if you look again in your notes, in Luke 19. A little commentary here, it says, Jesus stops beneath the sycamore and calls out Zacchaeus by name, the one man in the crowd everyone else had written off. Nobody liked a tax collector or wanted to acknowledge him. And also here in Scripture, where's the hope of a 38-year-old paralytic? It was assumed also by people during these times that one sin caused these kinds of illnesses. But Jesus at Bethesda, he sees this one man. 38 years deep into being overlooked, and he stops for him specifically. That's the gospel showing up right there. He knows who you are too. Grace always finds the one person the system or the masses or leadership overlooks. Long before you were looking for Jesus, he was already looking for you. By name, his grace is always sufficient. Number two in your notes, Jesus challenges the excuses that keeps us stuck. Do you want to be healed? He asked that. It sounds odd to ask a man who's been sick for almost four decades that question, right? Of course this guy wants to be healed. But except read his answer. Listen to it. He doesn't say yes. He explains why it hasn't happened yet. I have no one to put me in the pool. While I'm going to go in, another person steps in front of me. That's all excuses. But it's true. He really doesn't have anyone to help him. He's been forgotten. But Jesus didn't ask him to explain his circumstances, did he? He asked him what he wanted. In your notes, Jesus told a parable about people giving excuses, and also when we tell ourselves. See in Luke, some more commentary. In Luke 14, everyone invited to a banquet suddenly discovers a reasonable sounding excuse why they can't come. Every excuse is keeping them from a wedding feast they are invited to. We know this now as the parable of the wedding feast of the Lamb, first offered to the Jews, and most declined the invite. The paralytic excuses were also keeping him from being who Christ wanted him to be. And it kept him for 38 years from getting into that pool. He's used to being an invalid. And society was used to him being that way also. A person released after decades in prison often struggles with freedom. It's not because freedom isn't good, but the prison became familiar. Sometimes familiar people or familiar places feel safer than unknown freedom. There's a name for that in behavioral sciences. It's called institutionalization. Now, you don't need a deep education to know that's true, do you? You felt it in similar ways in your life. A relationship you should have cut loose years ago. The grudge you carried so long, it feels like part of your identity. The sin you stopped calling sin and called, it's just the way I am. Familiar misery is a house with furniture in it. Freedom is an empty room. And empty rooms can cause us to be uncomfortable. Excuses explain the past, but they never create the future. The law here in Scripture that we're reading is not condemning the man for being sick, like many in society probably assumed back then. But it exposes the deeper problem here, being an invalid. It's a 38-year will that had quietly given up on wanting anything to change, dressed up in a perfectly reasonable excuse to stay the way he was. We often tell ourselves stories to keep ourselves stuck in our situations, don't we? Number three in your notes, Jesus' word creates the life it commands. Notice what Jesus doesn't do. He doesn't coach the man through the recovery. He doesn't say, hey, here's a stretch routine. Give it 6 months. He says these words, get up, walk. Verse 9 records the results in the same breath. At once the man was healed, picked up his mat, and he walked. There's no gap between the command and the cure. The word and the healing arrive together, because for Jesus, they're never two separate things. This is the same creative word from the very beginning of Scripture. See in Genesis, in your notes. God speaks, and the very thing he speaks comes into being. Let there be light, and there was light. God speaks light into existence out of nothing. He calls a reality into being that wasn't already there. That's exactly what happens in the pool in Bethesda. He sees how society treats the man and how he's forgotten. He sees the man's excuses and complacency. Jesus sees his heart. See again in your notes in Hebrews chapter 4. The word of God is living and active. Amen? Cutting to the heart of who we actually are. Jesus' words don't just inform the paralytic. It exposes his complacency and heals him in the same breath. You see, faith itself is a gift, not an achievement. We're not earning it. The man at the pool didn't work up enough faith to earn his healing. He didn't even know how to ask. Jesus spoke, and the speaking accomplished what the man could never accomplish for himself. That still works. Every time his word is preached, or you meet with other believers in a small group, you have an opportunity to walk out believing something you didn't believe walking in. You didn't create that faith. The Word did. The Holy Spirit works through you also. You can speak life too. The world's fastest Bible study, I say all the time, and Roberto and I talk about it all the time in the office. Luke 12:12 says, the given hour, I will give you the words to say. Jesus can reveal it to others through you. You are called just like I am. Every believer is. To participate in the revealing of the truth. I'm not special. I'm just here today, called to speak. I wrestle with my own excuses. You don't have to do it like this. There are other ways. What rooms or communities will you speak in? Be aware. See opportunities where you live, work, learn, and play. Maybe in a line at Publix or to your neighbor who needs something. Or take a chance, pray with someone right here in this building. Jesus is calling. Will we hold on to these easy excuses? What stories are we telling ourselves to keep us from being transformed and used today to awaken hearts to Jesus? Four, Jesus didn't come just to change your circumstances. He came to change you. The rest of the story, I'm sure, seems odd to this guy. After being healed, the Jewish leaders don't even celebrate the healing. I mean, they've seen this guy laying around for 38 years. He's up walking around. The religious entrenched in this legalism around you will often say, you're doing it wrong. The leaders interrogated the healing man about carrying his mat on the Sabbath. And later, Jesus finds the guy in the temple and he says, sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. You see, Christ's death and resurrection justifies us through faith by grace. The rest of the journey for the man Jesus was speaking into was called sanctification. That's what it is, a journey to walk this out daily. Look, Jesus was never only after this man's legs to be healed. He was after his heart. He was after his thoughts, the way he sees the world. That's the deeper healing here. Jesus is not after the man who can, he's not after the man because he can't walk, but a man whose heart has actually been replaced. This is the promise in Ezekiel long before this. He already spoke it centuries earlier. Look and see in Ezekiel in your notes. The Lord promises to remove the heart of stone and give a new heart, a new spirit in its place. Changes the way you think about things, see the world and other people. If it's in new legs and you have an old heart, eventually it walks back to the same complacency for those 38 years. Well, here's the good news. Jesus gives us new legs and a new heart together because he was never in the business of just managing our circumstances or conditions. He wants you set free, walking in grace to a new place in him. So Jesus turns that same question towards you this morning, and he asked it there at that pool that day. Do you need healing in your life? Maybe for you, it's a relationship you've explained away instead of confessing and letting Jesus repair it. Maybe it's a sin so old and so comfortable it doesn't even feel like sin anymore. Maybe it's simply a faith that's gone through the motions so long you've forgotten what it felt like to expect God to actually do something in your life. So you know, let me let you in on a secret. God is always working. Whatever your example is, your time of complacency, stop explaining it or excusing it. Allow the Word to transform you by receiving the gift He wants to give to you. Pray, Lord, please forgive me of whatever it is, specific thing. Speak it out loud. Jesus is always available. Or share with another believer. Then expect Him to do what He promises He'll do. He's the living power. And when He prompts you, get up. Even if your legs haven't felt strong in 38 years. Remember, the strength isn't in the legs. It's in the Word that was spoken to Him. Let me ask this. Can we see the potential in people like Jesus does? Picture a church full of people who stop using their excuses as a crutch, who have been set free from old excuses. A people formerly stuck, people who used to introduce themselves by their diagnosis, their divorce, their addiction, and now introduce themselves as people Jesus saw, spoke to, set free, and made new. Amen. That's what it looks like when a church actually believes. Verse 9 happened the way John said it happened. We stopped being people managed by excuses and become people who carry mats out that door. Walking with new hearts underneath them, new legs. That's not a program. That's not done by willpower. That's Christ. That's His will, not ours. Walking past that pool, still seeing the one everyone has overlooked. Still saying, get up and walk. You see, our circumstances come and go. Health comes and goes. Success comes and goes. But faith in Christ, it carries us through every season and all the way into eternity. Jesus can change our circumstances, but His greatest work is changing your heart. Let us stop believing the excuses that we tell ourselves and begin trusting the story of the one who created us. Let's read in our memory verse together, 2 Corinthians. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you saw a man at that pool before he ever saw you. And you see every situation coming our way. Please help us to trust you. You know every excuse and story we tell ourselves. We tell them, and it traps us in our circumstances. Forgive us for asking you to make our chains more comfortable, Lord, instead of asking you to set us free. I pray, as you have gathered us here today, we have been changed in some way by your word, Lord. Please remove any stony parts of our hearts that still remain, and give us courage to get up and walk as you call us out of what is familiar, Lord, and what is comfortable. Give us the faith and courage to be used by you in our communities, Lord. And we ask this in your name, who makes things new. Now we pray, Lord, the prayer that you taught us to pray, Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against you. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Christian. That was really, really good. So now we continue our worship by receiving the offering. And, you know, this ministry, we do it the hard way. I know every face in here. You guys are our family. But I'll tell you, we do our services on the beach where people work, live, and play. So if you want to continue to support the gospel going to the people, you can give by, you know, putting a check, cash, whatever, in the envelope. On the envelope itself, it has a couple of ways. If you're watching online, you can go online to hopeonthebeach.com/give, and that will lead you right to where you need to be. We also have some pretty cool events coming up. So we have the Large Life Group. Now, this is a one-off, but we have a very special guest, Pastor Paul Ziegler. He's a missionary, and he's coming with the word. So I encourage you guys, it's July 21st at 5:30. We have dinner. We like to eat here, don't we? I mean, it's hard to stay thin here. We're going to have dinner at 5:30. At 6 o'clock, the life groups begins. So I encourage you guys to just join us. It's going to be a great night. And then in August, we're going to have the Lighthouse Dinner, and we don't have any new faces. But if you're online and you want to figure out, you want to learn more about Hope on the Beach Church, please join us. It's the information's on the bulletin. You know, God is good all the time.
Amen.
You know? He doesn't lead us astray. Why do we always make a left when he wants us to make a right? I'm trying to figure that out. But thank you, Christian, for that message, because it speaks to our very heart. You know? And yeah, he's a miracle worker. He breaks chains, don't he? Come on. Breaks addictions. Oh, God, you are so good. We are so blessed by you. All right, you can come up with your offering now. All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude?
I can sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end, and you never do. So I'll throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much. Nothing else fit for a king except for heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Let's all rise. Let's worship.
I've got one response.
Yeah.
I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I'll throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah. Soul, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on my soul, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So I'll throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. Remember those walls that we called sin and shame. They were like prisoners that we couldn't escape. But he came and he died and he rose. Yeah, those walls are rubble now. Remember those giants we called death and grave. They were like mountains that stood in our way. But he came and he died and he rose. Those giants are dead now. This is our God. This is who he is. He loves us. This is our God. This is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Remember that fear that took our breath away. Faith so weak that we could barely pray. But he heard
every word, every whisper. Now those altars in the wilderness tell the story of His faithfulness. Never once did He fail, and He never wavered. This is our God. This is who He is. He loves us. This is our God. This is what He does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus, who pulled me out of that pit. He did, He did. Who paid for all of our sins? Nobody but Jesus. Who pulled me out of that pit? He did, He did. Who paid for all of our sin? Nobody but Jesus. Who rescued me from that grave? Yahweh, Yahweh. Who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but Jesus. Who rescued me from that grave? Yahweh, Yahweh. Who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but Him. This is our God. This is who He is. He loves us. This is our God. This is what He does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Hallelujah. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Amen. So as you go today, receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. May He look upon you with favor and give each and every one of you peace. Amen. See you next week.